Welcome to another week of the Fiber Coven podcast. We're here to talk about some yarny stuff and some witchy stuff. I'm Lauren from Valkyrie Fibers.
And I'm Emily from Kitty with a Cupcake.
Yay! Kicking off with some news. First off, you'll be at a show in Lexington.
Yes, it is Lexington Comic Con, my local Comic Con event. I really had fun last year, and it is March 7th through 10th. That sounds right to my brain. That is right. And that 7th is a preview night, and then the regular 3 days, it's pretty much all day. I will be in the vendor hall for all of the vendor hall hours. Come find me and buy some pins. I will have the pronoun pals on hand. I have my suit. Oh, I can actually show it to you. It's right here. 1 second. I have my little sushi card.
Yay!
It's
Yes.
Cute.
Emily was developing a little sushi menu that you can use to order your pronoun pins. Oh, look at it. It's on a little wee clipboard. And you
It's
can
very
click off
cute.
your main pals and then your pride plaques or personality plaques and then your pronouns. It's got all the little options and a little QR code so you could build it digitally to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm excited about these. I think that they're going to work out really well. I'm still like planning how they're going to physically be in the booth. I'm deciding if I'm going to have like a poster or like a banner to put the actual pins on, but I will have them there and you can place an order for your custom pronoun pal set at Lexington Comic Con.
Hooray! Then the next event we have is going to be a virtual one on Saturday, March 23rd. The Fiber Coven as a team is participating in the Knit for Food fundraiser. One of our awesome members, Clara, brought this to our attention last year, and we decided to do it as a team this year. It's a fundraiser for four different food aid organizations, both here in the United States and internationally. And it raises hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then it gets split up between the four organizations evenly. But the official events are going to be knitting for 12 hours straight, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And there's going to be official Zoom events, and all of our patrons, since we're pulling together as a team, they will receive links to that. And they don't have to do anything. I'm taking care of all the admin, and we are just pulling together to share our specific fundraising stuff. And we have a goal of raising $5,000 as the Fiber Coven team. So if you want to sponsor me knitting for 12 hours straight, please, please donate. And we do have prizes and thank you gifts. So we'll have some random prizes given out to our donors. It doesn't matter how much you donate, but if you donate $50 or more, you are eligible for a thank you gift. All that information is in our little profile on the main fundraiser site. And you can check that out and give money to a good cause, support me knitting for 12 hours, and maybe get yourself a little thank you gift.
Yeah, and you can find the links for that at fibercoven.com and also in the link in our bio on Instagram. So both of those places, you can find the link to the Fiber Coven team for that.
Hooray! And then we are both going to be in Salem, Massachusetts on April 20th. There are events. That is the main market for the Fiber Witch Festival, but there are events and classes on the day before and the day after as well.
Yes. Yeah, we will have some different events, kind of local events around town on Friday. Keep checking the Fiber Witch Festival Instagram to see when we announce those. And there will definitely be some workshops on Sunday. And on Friday after the market at night, we are going to have a special podcast after party at the Toil and Trouble Dye Studio with me and Lauren. And we will have some snackies and we will lead a little group ritual and it will be a fun time.
And we're going to have a collaborative podcast where it's going to be awesome. Oh my gosh. We had so much news.
So much news. We're doing so many
things.
It's
exciting. I think it's exciting. And I think we do a lot of work that hopefully, like, obviously it benefits us. Or else we wouldn't do it, but it's also benefiting others. I know that there is no fee for the Salem one, but there is a suggested donation for the Fiber Witch Festival to a local domestic violence prevention organization. So all these things are going to support good causes in addition to helping small businesses.
Yes. And I'm trying really hard to get a donation matching sponsor for the Fiber Witch Festival. So if you work for a yarn company or something that might be interested in that, come talk to me.
Fun. Yes. Full transparency. Emily is involved at behind the scenes organization for the Fiber Witch Festival.
Yes. It's going to be so fun. I'm very excited about it. I hope it's a big success so we get to do it every year.
I love it. I think it's going to be great. And I guess we can jump into our content. I finished a thing. I finished my second dotted raise.
Oh.
And this is the dotted raise shawl by Stephen West. I'm using my leftover temperature yarn. It is a warm green to cool blue gradient.
So oceany.
So oceany. I did run out of yarn at the end and I had to do a couple rows of kind of like a white and gray, but I think it looks all
Okay,
right.
it looks like you did it on purpose.
All right. I love it.
It's
Yeah, I
like the
finished it.
foam of the wave.
And actually the only whip I have is I started a third one. I still have the other ones. I just didn't, they don't look any different. Look at this. I started a
Oh.
third dotted raise in the warmer colors. It starts out with
Yay.
yellow, a sunny yellow, and it's some kind of like creamsicle tangerine-y colors, oranges, and it's going to fade into bright orange and pink.
Cute.
Yeah.
I like
Yeah.
those.
What have you been working on?
Well, I'm currently knitting on Sarah's wedding sock, which is
Hooray.
my vanilla sock in Knit Picks Hawthorne, that Sarah's gonna wear for her wedding.
In a couple weeks.
I have 2 weeks to finish these socks. I am very much on schedule to finish these socks. It's fine. I am past the
Yeah.
heel and well into the gusset on this first sock, so I'm doing good. The Hawthorne is very thick and sturdy, and I think they look nice.
Did you do any detailing in the back of the calf like you were considering?
No, I decided to just keep it vanilla because of the tattoo placement. I didn't want to defeat the purpose of the socks by having them not hide the tattoos. And above the heel, they're just, I just hit myself with my needle. They're gonna be in the her boot anyway. So I might do a little tiny duplicate stitch, like white heart somewhere, just like to be cutesy if I have time. But it's gonna be like an if I have time. It's not a requirement.
Nice. They're looking really good. What else have you been working on?
I have worked on my Lord of the Rings blanket, and since I'm here in my house, I will show it to you. Oh, my yarn ball is falling out of it.
It is so large.
It's
You
very large, very
are
large.
onto the two towers.
I'm onto the two towers. I finished a new stripe. So I have these four stripes for the two towers so far. This is the union of the two towers, I believe. This kind of black and gray stripey situation. And I just have a little itty bitty teeny bit of the new color, which is a red sun rises.
I love it. It's that one's really nice.
Yes. So I'm very excited. I think this is going to be a blanket for the new couch, which will be less new when it's a finished blanket because it won't be finished for a year. Or realistically.
Yeah, if you keep pace, you may be able to finish it by the end of 2025. Nice.
I worked a bit on my Stephen West mystery knit along.
Yeah.
It is very big.
It is very big. It's so purple.
I finished clue three and I'm on to clue four, and I did like a 500 stitch pickup yesterday for the border. It was an I-cord pickup, so it could have been worse. And the instructions like gave you checkpoints basically, like when you hit these color stripes, like there it was broken up. It wasn't just like pick up 500 stitches. But yeah, I do have two too many stitches, but that's fine. I'm just gonna get rid of them in row two, which is just a plain pearl row, so it's fine.
That is fine.
It is
That
fine.
is like such a small percentage of like the 500 you can fudge too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's okay. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know if I did like extra rows somewhere. I think probably what happened is like this midpoint is actually two I cord edges like joining. And I probably picked up too many stitches from that. And that's why I have two extras. But that's okay. It's such a big pickup. And then I did, oh, I left it in the other room, but I did the swatch for dip stitch section. of this because you don't want to try a new stitch on your 500 stitch pickup. And that was very fun, and I am excited to work it in here.
Awesome. Yay.
Yes. So that's I christened my new knitting spot in my new living room by picking up the 500 stitch border yesterday.
My goodness.
Yeah. And then I have a bunch of abandoned projects that I am frogging. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to talk about that in office hours?
Let's tease the regular podcast people with what we've got. So, what are the stats? How many abandoned projects did you find?
Well, you know the Ziploc bag size that's like huge, it's like really big. I have that whole bag of yarn that I took from projects. It wasn't knitted into them. It was the yarn that was attached to the projects. There's like
So you
five.
just cut them
Oh yeah.
and you didn't like wait to frog so that you could have the whole skein?
Nah.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, they're so old. So many of them are so old. And
I
they're
know. For the
stressing.
last couple of years, I have to write down all your projects once a week.
Yeah, they're so old. I'm not doing anything with them. They're stressing me out, so they're going away. I cleaned out my craft cart so I could have it by my new knitting space, and it was full of projects, and literally none of the projects I'm actually working on
I
were
love it.
on the craft cart. So now all the projects I'm actually working on are in the craft cart, so I can access that right next to my chair, and everything else is getting expunged from my life.
I love it. So place your bets here on how many projects it is, and we will see in office hours what the final count is. My guess is seven.
Yeah,
Anyway, we
there's a
shall see.
lot. There's also some old things that I wasn't willing to frog yet. So a couple things are sticking around because they're very much like maybe I'll never pick them up again, but I might still pick them up again, you know, that kind of thing. My elemental thing with all of the avatar colors, that's still in the craft cart.
Oh yeah, 'cause you were
So
doing some color work.
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Sweet. So if you want to check that out, we do office hours, which is a whole nother podcast for patrons. So that will be on video, so you'll get to see all of these things. And like the that bag is the volume of two small cats.
Yes. But I mean there was a Stephen West mystery shawl that had like six balls of yarn attached to it. So
Sweet. So I guess are we ready to roll into acquisitions? My only acquisition this week is what you sent me. It is my Loth Cat Squishy from Disney World. It's so
This is so cute. Mine's on my bed right now.
I love it. I took a nap with it yesterday. I love my baby giant Loth Cat. It's enormous and I jiggle it around the house and my orange cat feels very threatened by it. My black cat could not care any less about it.
Yeah. It's the Cuddlies plush from Disney. And they're basically squishmallow texture, but they're like all plush that are laying flat and they look like they're sleeping. And they make the best body pillows because they're like long and really squishy.
I love it. Did you get anything this week?
I got a couch.
Couches?
I got a couch and a really big chair, and I'm very happy about it. But
They're
that's
gray.
they're gray. Yes, they're gray and they're sturdy, and the chair has a bed in it.
Yay. Fun. And
Yeah.
you got an ottoman that your cats are fighting over.
It's a cat. The ottoman is a cat bed. Yeah. Porch cat is winning, obviously, for ottoman dominance.
Fun. Cool. Occult corner time.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting one that you brought up that I had never heard about, and then I fell down an internet rabbit hole. You brought up the Korean urban legend of fan death, which is the idea that you can be killed by running an electric fan in a closed room while you sleep. And I thought this was really interesting, and it kind of like is the flip side to the spontaneous human combustion thing. It's just like a mysterious way that you can die in your sleep, sort of a deal. And I thought this was really interesting. I find urban legends pretty interesting. And I went to college in, I have a degree in like biological sciences, well, clinical nutrition to be specific, but like within the overarching umbrella of biological sciences. So I was like looking into the mechanics of this, and it is wild. Okay. And so this urban legend started in the early 20th century when electric fans became a thing. And there are many assumed mechanisms that running an electric fan could kill you. Like, spoiler alert, it can't. So don't worry about this. Interestingly, both hyperthermia and hypothermia are listed as ways it can kill you. This is being overheated and like dying of heat stroke versus dying of being too cold.
How would it kill you be a heat stroke just because it like the fan is overheating?
No, I think that's because like it might be preventing you from breathing normally so that you can like breathe and or might be messing with your body's ability to sweat out the normal sweat response, or like for the
I know it
hypothermia.
doesn't actually make any sense. I was just
No, it
kidding.
doesn't. It doesn't. And I think for the hypothermia, it might be like, oh yeah, you're sweating. And so it's the fan is blowing and it's cooling you down too much.
I understand the logic that gets to that one.
And honestly though, like it, but like it's a thing though, in places that don't have like air conditioning standard, like a lot of Europe, when it gets too hot, like heat stroke does kill people who are elderly or might be in some sort of like their health is a little more fragile. Like it can kill you. So like if you're imagining like this is so this is a Korean urban legend, like if there's somebody just did pass away of heat stroke because they were elderly or their health was fragile, and then like the coroners come in and see the fan on, they're like, oh, maybe it was the fan, when in reality it was just, being of fragile health and experiencing heat stroke because, it's getting hotter every summer and that's no good.
So it's like a correlation, not causation thing.
Exactly. Okay. So aside from the hypo and hyperthermia, the other pr purported mode of ways an electric fan can kill you in your sleep in an enclosed room is asphyxiation or carbon dioxide intoxication.
I read about this a long time ago. I learned about this because I had a friend who was teaching English in Korea. And was like, this is an urban legend that is super pervasive, and it's such an interesting one coming from a different country because you've never heard of it. And it's like all of our American urban legends would be just as interesting too. But it's like specifically an enclosed room. It doesn't happen if the
Yes.
window is open.
No. Yeah. So, like, there's apparently a lot of PSAs in Korea that are like, open your windows or set an auto timer. And, like, all their fans have auto timers because of this urban legend. So, the most ridiculous, like, mode of asphyxiation that I found rumored was that the fan physically chops up the O2 oxygen molecule, which is
Wow,
like
that
not a
doesn't
thing.
make any sense.
You're just gonna have to, if you're not a sciencey person, you're just gonna have to trust me on this, that that is like not a thing. They have to build like super colliders to split atoms. When you split atoms, like that's how we won World War II. It's a bad time.
It's so interesting because it's such a clear like mistrusting of technology urban legend because like you don't die if you sleep outside in the wind. Like, you can be in air, it's fine. But it's because it was like a new technology, it was scary.
Yeah, and then another purported method was that somehow the fan uses up the oxygen, which is not a thing either. But like the ones that almost seem to make sense to me is that it changes like the mix of the air in the enclosed room, which is plausible. There's like the silliest version of that is that it creates like an air vortex or a vacuum, and like that makes it so you can't breathe. But there were other purported mechanisms that were like, oh, it changes like CO2 is a heavier molecule than O2, and it just changes like the the way the oxygen and the carbon dioxide, which is a natural byproduct of human breathing, would normally be in the room. So it would maybe cause you to have carbon dioxide intoxication, which is plausible, but like not really. So let's see here. I did find an interesting NPR article from a while back, and then it talked about how in 2008, a professor at the Department of Nuclear and Quantum Engineering at the Korean Advanced Institute of Science and Technology wanted to do an experiment on it, but he could not find any volunteers. So he did it on his 11-year-old daughter.
Oh
It's fine. She's
no. Just because he
like,
was a
spoiler
scientist,
alert.
he was like, this isn't a thing.
And what he did is he put a fan in her closed up room overnight, and every 5 minutes, I'm sure he put monitors on her, and every 5 minutes he checked her body temperature, her blood pressure, and the temperature of her hand, and she was fine. So, I mean, as far as scientific rigor, this is a one case study. It is not a peer-reviewed thing, but it is a scientist checking out this urban legend, and
Yeah,
this
I mean, we also
11-year-old.
don't exactly have examples of people dying from this, right?
Yeah, and I think like you would have in any large population, like I'm sure several people are have found to have expired in their sleep in a room with a fan in it every year. And like you said, this is a correlation, not causation thing. So like every year, they're like, oh, this person died in an enclosed room with a fan running. And like, yeah, I'm sure they did, but like their heart might have given out in the night or something. Or like the chronic lung disease they had for the last decade finally got to them or something like that. So it's a hard, urban legends are hard to do away with. But because of this, most fans sold in Korea have an automatic timer, like an automatic off function. And this is the funniest part to me. There is a conspiracy theory that the government started this urban legend in the 70s to reduce electricity usage.
Oh, that's so fun.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. That's very fun.
Yeah, that kind of cracked me up, and I can see it. I don't trust the
Oh,
government either.
that one. That's very funny.
And that's the cliff notes on the Korean urban legend of fan death. It kind of made me want to do spontaneous human combustion too.
Yeah, is do you think that that is the American equivalent of this? I don't
I
know though,
do.
because I don't think that that is as pervasive culturally. Like, it's so pervasive.
And when what would be like an American one that was super pervasive? Like you shouldn't go out with wet hair or else you'll catch cold, or like you shouldn't go
Yeah.
swimming after you
I
eat.
was gonna say swimming after you eat, because that's like total bullshit, but is something that like you, everyone says and you hear. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, cool. So thank you so much for bringing this one to my attention. I had such a fun time looking it up. Yeah. Awesome.
And Panda.
So we're gonna do a little self-promotion and be out of here. Your pronoun pals will be hitting the internet soon. I am planning a big old update. It will probably definitely already have happened by the time you are hearing this on Valentine's Day. I will be presenting my avatar collection into the world. I will be also having a pattern available. There are some more color work charts, but for my avatar inspired color work
It's so
right
cute.
here. Yeah. So check that out. Is that it for our promo?
I think so.
Yeah. Awesome sauce. If you are looking for us anywhere around the internet, please head on over to fibercoven.com. It will have show notes for this episode and all of our other episodes. It will have links to our Patreon, which is super dope. And it will also have links to my yarn and Emily's pins and patterns and anything you could want to know about us, fiberkevin.com.
The link for our Knit for Food team, if you would like to donate to that.
That is on our Fiber Coven Instagram as well as on our website. Sweet. And until next week, Coven, keep making yarn magic. Bye.
Bye.